put the desire into our hearts to come together, and that is what is so necessary in these days, to have fellowship, because you said that we were to assemble ourselves and not forsake it as a manner of some is, but even so much the more as that day approaches. Now, we know that that's quite a problem. In a way, it is quite a strong statement for this day, Lord. But we thank God that you gave it to us tonight. We thank you, Lord, and that we are coming together and assembling ourselves, and it is doing us good. May we go a step further, Lord, and not just assemble ourselves, but to incite each other unto good work, to help each other, to encourage each other, and be of a great blessing so that we can lean on each other if need be. Maybe someone needs real lifting up, Lord. For you said, the righteous man falls 7 times, the Lord will lift him up. So we pray, Lord, that the meeting shall be one of edification unto real lifting up in the Spirit of God so that we can go on together. Let not one of us be far apart, Lord, but realize we're members of each other. And that's difficult to do, too. And we pray that you'll help us, because without your help, we wouldn't accomplish it whatsoever. For surely, Lord, we are so diverse, and yet we ought not to be, but we can overcome it through grace in Christ. So we ask you to help us at this time. And now every word, Lord, let it be your word. Let it be in your spirit, Lord, the intonation, everything that is correct. And even to the extent, Lord, that the word spoken will be understood in the same spirit and mind in which the understanding is in the one giving it, unless there should be a problem, and we would not want that. We are looking to you, therefore, to help us now, and may your name be glorified, and may we honor you as perhaps we have not previously, because we believe we're going upward and upward until that perfect day. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, you have your Bible. We can turn to the book of Ephesians, the first chapter, and verses 15 through 23. Now, I'm going to try not to talk too fast if I can help it. I'll keep as slow as I can. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all and in all. Now, a Moffat translation may be a little beneficial too. May the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, grant you the spirit of wisdom and revelation for the knowledge of himself. Notice, for the knowledge of himself, illuminating the eyes of your heart so that you can understand the hope to which he calls us and the wealth of his glorious heritage in the saints and the surpassing greatness of his power to us believers, a power which operates with the strength of the might which he exercised in raising Christ from the dead and seating him at his right hand in the heavenly sphere above all angelic rulers, authorities, powers, and lords, above every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the age to come. He has put everything under his feet and set him as head over everything for the church which is his body, filled by him who fills the entire universe. Now, I want to talk tonight about revelation being a dynamic principle, or in other words, revelation being a powerful force within the church. Now, just looking at this scripture, before we get into the subject, you notice here that Paul was praying that the people, through the Spirit of God, would receive revelation in the knowledge of Jesus to the end that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened. You see, the inner man would know, that you would know what is the hope of his calling. Yet tonight, if I were to pose the question, could you honestly give me a truly spiritual, scriptural definition, a basic inner knowledge of what the hope of his calling is? Then secondly, what is the riches of his glory of the glory of his inheritance. Has anyone even dared to express what his inheritance is in the saints? In other words, we have a hope of our calling, and Christ has an inheritance, but do we know? We have seemed to try to major on the power, but is that sufficient to know about the power of his resurrection, even academically, when we have not a basic or a real revelation, a real knowledge of the call to which he has called us, and what is his inheritance? We sort of shun that second part, say, well, don't even talk about any inheritance. I'm to God because look at what a terrible man or woman I am. Is that right? Well, what's he coming for? He's coming to be admired in his saints, but nobody even seems to know about it. See? So we need revelation. See? We need revelation, but I want to go beyond that. I want to show, as Brother Branham brought out so mightily, sermon after sermon, that the power of the church is in the revelation of himself. It's a revelation. We've not wanted it. Most of us have Pentecostal background. We haven't wanted it. See, which is wrong. Now, to grasp this portion of Scripture, which I have read as our text, is to come to the conclusion that the word designated as revelation has the ability, you see, it's able to perform, the ability to empower the believer. Now, these words again, that so that through revelation we can understand the hope to which he calls us, his glorious heritage in the saints, the surpassing greatness of his power operating in the church, see, which is his body, which is filled by his spirit. Now, this is no false concept, that revelation is a power. It's an enablement, giving the quality of being able to produce, to perform, to demonstrate. Revelation itself is not simply a mental or an academic thing, although it starts there. The revelation of the Spirit of God is an enabling force within the church. Now, that this is no false concept is brought to us in Matthew, the 16th chapter. And you know who taught us this, over here in the verses 13 to 20. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist. Some say you're Elijah. Some say you're Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said unto them, but whom do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, as Brother Branham brought out, many people have tried to say that the church is built upon Peter. But how could a church be built upon a fallible man, one who cursed and denied the Lord Jesus Christ? And again they say the church is built upon Jesus, although that is in a sense true. Jesus is the chief cornerstone, and Paul says the church is built upon the apostles and prophets to whom was committed the revelation. But what is the church built upon? The church is built upon the revelation of himself and the things of the Spirit, making her a prevailing church. Now, the church becomes prevailing so the gates of hell cannot prevail against her, and also she is able to bind and to loose on the grounds of the revelation by the Spirit of the living God. In other words, the prevailing empowered church is one walking in the revelation of the Spirit. See? One walking in the revelation of the Spirit. Not a church given dynamism through gifts. That has caused the most confusion the world's ever seen. Carnal impersonators is what the angel of God himself said concerning the operation of gifts apart from revelation. They had something and knew not what they had. See? That's true. The church, the prevailing empowered church, is one walking in the revelation of the Spirit. But since this church, this body, is built of individuals, of necessity we admit that the members of the church must also have personal revelation by the Holy Spirit so they can walk therein. Now, let me illustrate so that you'll understand. I want to take a carnal illustration here, but it'll be helpful to us. Now, I suppose the majority of us have read a little bit about the great Sir Cecil Rhodes. I don't remember too much, except I was taught that Sir Cecil Rhodes had a dream or a vision of running a red line from the Cape of Good Hope up to Cairo with railway and waterways and making Africa a complete unit of the British Empire. Now, Cecil Rhodes all but accomplished his vision. Now, the question is this. Was Cecil Rhodes given vast armies? He was not given vast armies. Was he given millions of dollars? He would have broken the British Empire to use the money necessary to make this great Africa, continent of Africa, a complete unit of the British Empire. But what did Cecil Rhodes have? Cecil Rhodes had a vision, see? And it was the vision that caused everything to accrue to Cecil Rhodes. Many people say, oh, I'll get the job done. Just give me the factors and give me the power. It'll never get the job done because power breeds corruption. See? What did Cecil Rhodes have? All he had was a vision, a revelation. And he got the job done. What did John D. Rockefeller have? Did John D. Rockefeller start with billions of dollars? No, he ended with billions of dollars because he had a revelation. He had a vision that he could be the Gentile, a power, as in contradistinction to the Rothschild Jewish power. And he became that power. Why? Because everything accrued to that man, because he had a revelation. Now, let me go on the Spirit. What did Moses have but a revelation? Did he have an army to walk down to Egypt? Did he have millions of dollars? Did he have forces of angels? Did he have prestige? No! A criminal, according to Egypt, walked down and took out Israel on the grounds of a revelation. What was it Luther had? Tell me, what did Luther have? Was it his theological training? No, he had to give it up because the just shall live by faith. Did he have the Roman Empire behind him? He had the Roman Empire against him. What did Luther have? Luther had a revelation by the Holy Ghost, and he challenged the whole world on a revelation. And that's what we have failed to understand. It's the spiritual revelation that gives the man power. What did William Branham have? What did he have? He didn't have an education. You may say, thank God. We say, thank God it isn't. Did William Branham have prestige? Did he have money? Did he come out of a home that had fortune and prestige behind it? Was he adored, as it were, by the world? No! But what man ever could stand up and say, I challenge you, bring me 24 of your worst cases. Now, not even a man with a gift of healing could do that. Not a man with a gift of miracles could do that. It would take a man with thus saith the Lord, by a revelation. And he could stand up and literally shake the world. But men have thought they could bypass the revelation of the Holy Ghost. It cannot be done. Listen, what is wrong today in our dead fundamental churches? They believe in what you call the plenary theory. The plenary theory comes from the Latin word plenus, I believe, meaning full. They believe this is the Word of God. It doesn't contain the Word of God. It is the Word of God. But can they produce it? They cannot produce it. Why? Because there is no revelation in dead fundamentalism that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That Jesus Christ does live. But they all go by the Word of God and bypass the Word of God because there is no revelation. And yet they say we believe this is the Word of God, and we know that they do believe it's the Word of God. But there is no revelation. Now tell me, what has any move of God ever started on except a revelation? Absolutely none. No move of God ever started on anything but a revelation. But it's when God and the things of God became so real that men could project them by the Holy Ghost. It was people stood up and the call of God went forth and men could understand. We need a revelation. When Brother Branham was raised up, they thought, now we're all gonna have gifts. It is tragic even to think in the oration the same thought obtained, but it is not so. There will not be 1,000 William Branhams raised up. There was one raised up with a revelation. And I'll show you before I'm finished. Every age has had the same. But for men to catch the spark and the glow is not to imitate, but it's to possess reality by the Holy Ghost. Jesus Christ gave His Spirit to that end. Dead traditions have taken over the whole church. That's right. Dead traditions have taken over the whole church world. Why are they dead? Because there is no revelation concerning the Word of God. And they see that there is a dynamism set forth in this book. And reading the church histories, they know that every age has produced great men. They attempt to do the same thing by program. And it's never going to be done. You've never seen more churches in your life than today. You've never seen more school buses. And I've been going around the country and my heart's been breaking as I see people raising up buildings that cost $300,000 and $500,000. In South Bend alone, where I was recently, two men who worked together literally have a raising up between them maybe $1 million or somewhere in that neighborhood. It'll never get the job done. Never was intended to get the job done. Because God only moves by His Spirit. And except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain to build it. And except the Lord keep the city, the watchman watches but in vain. And He said, without Me, you can do nothing. But the reality of His doing and performing comes only by a revelation. Now, in order to go further in the subject, let me advise you that when I speak of revelation, I am not speaking of revelation as concerning the 14th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, though this is good. In 1 Corinthians 14 and 6, Paul speaking also in verse 26, now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you? Except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation, let all things be done to edifying. Now, you see, this revelation that's mentioned here in Revelation 14, 6 and 26 is simply a manifestation of the Spirit, even as tongues or interpretation or prophecy are. This is simply a word of knowledge and is fitting to the immediate occasion or dealing with some condition amongst the believers. But the revelation which we're talking about tonight is not the imparted knowledge for a specific occasion. It's the knowledge for a dynamic life. See? It's not something for a moment, although that's good. It's not a solution for a pressing problem or condition, so that's good. But it's the continuing dynamic of an empowered life from the calling of God to glorification. And it may be found summed up in the book of Galatians, chapter 2, 1 to 2, and chapter 1, verse 11 and 12, which I'll read. Then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also, and I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. Now, Paul had a revelation. The Holy Spirit said, Paul, go to Jerusalem. Now, that's good. That's good. And nothing against it. But that's not the answer. What is the answer? The answer is in the first chapter, 11 and 12. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, neither received it of man, neither was I taught it by man, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. The dynamism of the Apostle Paul, who was able thereby to commit himself unto men, perform the work God gave him, and make him commended to God, lay in the revelation. The revelation was so real that Paul, literally, his whole life was controlled by it. See? He said, I went up to Jerusalem because God said, Paul, go. That's good. We've had a lot of revelation. Yeah, we have. Even where are the keys to my car? Or where's the next road out of town? Or what kind of suit should I wear? Oh, that's all right. That's all right. I know a dear little old lady back in Canada. She was losing her memory. So she just used God's memory. She'd say, Lord, you know, I need my fifth stock of writing. Well, he said, you put them under the paper in the third drawer. she'd look on the paper in the third drawer, there was a socket. Lord, the keys to the chicken house are missing. Well, where are the keys to the chicken house? Well, they're hanging up on the wall. She'd go and pick them off the wall. I can't find the hole. It's down the right-hand corner of the garden. That's good. Nothing against it. But that's not it. Not what we're talking about. We're talking about a life that produces, that overcomes the gates of hell. See? And that dynamism is what Paul had by revelation. See? It's the Spirit that makes us to know. See? Now, to put it this way. This is real serious now because here's my favorite. The Bible says you took joyfully the spoiling of your goods because you knew. See? What did they know? The fellow down the street couldn't take joyfully spoiling his goods. The fellow down the street got mad. When you hit him on this cheek, he stalked you back. He wouldn't turn this. But you see, the Bible said that you took joyfully the spoiling of your goods because you knew that you had in heaven a better and enduring substance. Now tell me tonight, how many of us here know? Like that. I'm not challenging you, brother, sister, because I don't know myself. Say, Brother Dale, let's discipline ourselves. Oh, hogwash. I've preached discipline for years. Forget it. Well, Brother Dale, if we go through it, these people didn't go through it. They knew something that gave them the power to give up everything and turn the cheek. And if you and I haven't got it tonight, you're not going to get it because you're going to try. You're not going to get it because you're going to be disciplined. You're only going to get it because you got a revelation from God. Let's rip our Bibles up and forget it. Now you can see what kind of a bill of goods you were sold like me years ago. Come up and get the Holy Ghost and get all kinds of power. Make you feel good, like tearing the walls down. Oh, come up and listen, because you prophesy doesn't put you in the prophet path. It's when you can shout and dance and say, Hallelujah, bless God, in the midst when they're slapping your face and cutting you to ribbon. That puts you in the prophet class, nothing else does. This may answer a question to a very sweet lady who wondered why it was that Brother Branham be knocked down, kicking the teeth, and up shaking your hand. Because he was a prophet. He was in the prophet class. I want to be a prophet, Brother Dale. Not by just prophesying, honey. I've been all through that. You say, Brother Dale, do you really want to be in the prophet class? I do. I've prayed about that fast. I've taken shortcuts. I've disciplined myself. It doesn't work. It takes a revelation. Because there isn't any man can turn his cheek without a revelation. The Bible said they had it. That's where they could do it. See, you and I can't pay $10 for a parking ticket if we don't have the $10 to pay it. Huh? You can't turn the cheek unless you had a revelation because you know something. There isn't one of us who can give up anything, my brother, my sister, except we know something from God. A bird in the hand is not worth two in the bush. That's a lot of rubbish because the bird and the two in the bush is better if you got an understanding from God. See? You see what it is? We've been sold a bill of goods. The power doesn't die in gifts. What do you got? Listen. What have you got today amongst the carnal impersonators? Anointed pocketbooks? That's Catholicism. Sure, to figure it out for yourself. Your scheme. The perverting of Scripture. Because a dear saint of God in Canada took as an illustration David outside of Jerusalem. And they said, what? Here, bring back the king. And so he used that as a text, bringing back the king. And he based it on the fact when the gospel has gone to every creature, Christ will come. And from then on, everybody said, we're going to make Jesus come back as quick as we can. We're going to disciple everybody in the world. I want you to show me that's by. That's a perverting of Scripture. And they never had it because the revelation was lacking. We need a revelation because this revelation gives dynamism. Now, this revelation we've mentioned does not come by education. It couldn't because it doesn't come by human endowment. It comes by spiritual endowment. Paul said he received revelation, not by man. He wasn't taught it. What he had, he got from God.
And also we know that Jesus lifted his eyes and he said, I thank thee, Father, that thou hast not revealed this to the wise and prudent, but you revealed it unto babes. And again in 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, the Word of God distinctly teaches us the Spirit was given for the very reason that we may know the things of God. Now, if you don't believe knowledge is wonderful, brother, sister, let me tell you this, and I'm carnal again, illustration. Now, please don't think I'm carnal to be carnal. I'm using carnal illustrations to get the point across. If you had $1,000,000, but I knew how to get it, you wouldn't have your million very long, would you? If you had an atomic bomb, but I knew how to build a bigger one, I'd wipe you out. Is that correct? Therefore, knowledge is real. Because the Bible says, without knowledge, the people perish. But you can only know certain things by the Spirit of God. And again, the Bible says, there was no open vision. And again, it says, without a vision, the people perish. And we know what it all means. It means without the Spirit of God revealing to the people of God the things which are freely given to him of God, and making God what God is by the Spirit, the people cannot be overcoming. Now, you see why it is that your missionary programs fail? You see why it is for all the manifestation we've seen for the last 15 years that Brother Branham was correct, we have raised up nothing but carnal impersonators? Oh, that was hard to swallow. Oh, my wife and I went around the table on that. Oh, we did. Well, maybe you're not common dirt like us, but God knows I'm worse than common. I can be stepped on. I thought, well, he make himself a little bit bigger something? Well, oh, can you say something? Well, yes, I'm honest. I've got to admit, I've got to face God in judgment day. I thought, is Brother Branham really right? I know he's sincere and honest, but are these men only carnal impersonators? The day come when Billy Paul can tell you, yes, to one of the men I knew above all men, so close in impersonation that no man stood second. But where'd they end up? I hate to say it, face down the gutter, drug addicted, and God knows what. Do you believe that God's servants go that trail?
No.
Death, martyrdom, those things, yes, but not that thing. See, they missed it because they attempted to bind and loose without the revelation. Brother, sister, how can any man know the things of God without the Spirit of God? How can any man dare to walk except in the Spirit? See? We need revelation, yet we were taught to come up and get tongues and get power and get the... Can you imagine a nervous fellow like me going up there to get a tiger in my tank and a wildcat under my hood? But I did it. But I did it. I need to get quietened down. You don't get revelation, the power of God running around. That's one thing I said the minute I saw all men on the platform, as it were. And I said, how come the one man with the most power is not acting like a whirling dervish? His action means power. Revelation. He sold the bill of goods, brother. Sits, I'll prove it as time goes on. Now, let's see Revelation, if I'm correct. In the first book of Corinthians, which is the 2nd chapter, and I'll read fairly fast because you fall in your Bible there. Paul said in verse 3, I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. Notice that. Where is this? Where are these self-confident men now? I'll show you a thing or two. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of Spirit and power. Notice this. Paul never came on his own, but when he came, it had to be God. And what was God, that was it. Now, in my speech, you said it wasn't that way, but that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of the world, nor the princes of this world. See, watch your leadership, watch your leadership. Watch your leadership. God never put men to follow men in the hierarchy. He put men under pastors. See? Real men of God never organized, went out and got men over here and put this group over here and that over there. They were fed by a pastor that's taking care of the flock. You check your tapes, you'll find the very same thing. Brother Branham brought the very same thing. No hierarchy. Men full of the Holy Ghost with revelation, the wisdom of God, the Spirit of God revealing the same thing. Remember, old George Fox knew this same thing. He said, why was it that the people couldn't hear Moses? Because the people hearing Moses didn't have the same spirit in them that caused Moses to talk. That's why he couldn't hear him. Now, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. It's always mysterious. Doesn't mean it's not real. Doesn't mean it can't be known. Doesn't mean it's not functional. Not something put in a corner said, forget it, it's mysterious. The element there is peculiar because you don't understand why you know, but you know. And you'd die for it. See? Even the hidden wisdom of God, which was ordained before the world unto our glory. Oh, I could stop for a while on this one, but I dare not. Which none of the princes of the world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it's written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them to love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man that's in him? That's the best you'll ever come up with by yourself. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, in order that we may talk in tongues and prophesy. It doesn't say it. That we may know. You know you want noise again? They took joyfully the spoiling of their goods because they knew something. Now, what did they know? Say, Brother Bill, they had a bigger club. They did not. They had a better scheme. Did not. They knew something. That's why they could be spread to the hogs, torn apart, cast in lion's den, burned in the furnace. That's why Polycarp could stand there unbound, because he knew something. What did he know? See? That we may know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches. Notice you don't even mix up your own ideas. Now that we've got the Holy Ghost, let's turn the world upside down for God. Now that we talk in tongues, let's go overseas, we'll all talk in tongues, missionaries. Now that we've got a word of wisdom, is that what it says? It doesn't say that. Even then, it's operated by revelation. Comparing spiritual with spiritual. If you take a spiritual thing and use it a carnal way, you are guilty of prostitution. Which means to take a right thing and use for a wrong end. The world is full of it. That's, you see, what organization is always built upon. Now that we've got something, let's corner it. Let's make the best use of it. See? Isn't that it? Forget it. Forget it. We've got something good, let's build bigger buildings and we'll put in more school buses. Forget it. Don't do it. Don't do it. That's your carnal mind again. You got a good thing. We got a great thing here. Let's use it. You think all the churches that called in Brother Branham to use him got away with it? You know what they got for it? Condemnation. I hate to say this, but God knows the truth. And judgment day, they're going to stand up to it. I hate to think it. I have no malice against them for it. I didn't understand. I don't claim I have any great understanding now, but I know one thing they'll be in judgment for. That's, you know that, right? They said, we'll use him, but don't believe him. How can you use a man you don't believe? Of course, that's all right. That's all right. That's all part of it. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They are but foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. See? A spiritual man alone can receive the things of God. See? That's why it's so wrong on our part to fuss when people don't understand, because they cannot understand. I'll prove it to you. Jesus said so here in the book of John, the 8th chapter. Let's go to it. You want to bring this all out so that, brother, sister, what I'm trying to do is to denude us of all of our ideas concerning this subject, to get rid of what we think, or what we might have been taught, or what we have thought we thought. Sometimes we just think we think, see? Now, let's start here about, say, verse 36. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. You can't free yourself, brother, sister. You've got to take God. I know that you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me, notice, because my word hath no place in you. You know there are people who've got no place for God's word? That means that there are certain people that have got a little place for the word and others don't have a place for the word. That's what he said. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which you have seen with your Father. Two different fathers, two different sons. They answered and said unto him, Abraham's our father. Jesus said, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham, but now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth. See, which I have heard of God. This is not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. They said to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. And Jesus said, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. There's only a certain group of people in every age who can hear what the Spirit of God is saying. But the devil will bring all the rest around, the Korahs, the Dathans, the Abirams, the unbeliever, the make-believer. He'll bring them all around with the believer. And they'll form a group. But one day there's going to have to come a shaking. There's got to be. Why? Because that which cannot shake and must remain. But remember, brother, sister, the wheat must be shaken before the husk falls off. See? Jesus said, you can't hear my word. There's no place in for it. You don't understand my speech. He didn't condemn them. He just told them. See? And I'm just showing you here that it takes the Spirit of God to give us revelation. And this is the power of the church. It is not in anything else but in this that the church prevails. Because this knowledge is the only knowledge you and I can have whereby we act in faith. The prophet himself said faith is a revelation of what? The things of God. When you know. Now we've got to come to the place of knowledge. Is that right? After the eye age comes what? The eagle age comes what? What's above the eye? The mind. That you may know the things that are freely given to you, God. Now, when I say no, I'm not talking now. Do you know Mr. Smith? You say that to one. She said, know him. I'm married to him. See, that's the kind of knowledge we're talking about. The knowledge of personal relationship. You see? Not just mere acquaintance. But a depth of reality. This is this knowledge in the Bible. You look it up in the Greek, you'll find the same thing. Now, the elect are in no danger. Now, here's something I don't understand. I've heard preachers say, you look out for that man because do you want to get led back to the wallow or to your vomit? Now, if I understand the word of God, a dog is a dog is a dog. He doesn't get converted. A hog is a hog is a hog. Now, if you tonight are under the misapprehension that you once were a hog or a dog and got turned into a sheep, you're not reading your Bibles right. It's the sheep that went astray, not the dog. Why are you saying this? Because the elect cannot be deceived. See? Some people shut their minds up. And they might even be afraid to hear me. Well, I don't blame them. I can hardly stand myself. So, I told Brother Perry, it's something like the farmer wanted to count the horse's teeth, and the horse wanted to count the farmer's fingers. Do you know what happened? No problem. What's to be scared? Are you elect? Listen, when Stephen stood up after Pentecost, he said, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. What's to resist? They closed their mind. The next step was what? Rejection. The third step, blasphemy. Huh? Who rejected the prophet's message? Resisted it?
Who?
What was their next step? Come on, the vision of the two lovely women. Huh? Rejection. What's the third step? Blasphemy. They'll take the one. There's one coming in his own name. They'll take it. Is that correct? They'll worship him as God. Is that correct? If that isn't blasphemy, I never heard it. That's Bible. You don't need to be afraid if you're elect. Don't be afraid. No boogie going to jump on you. No devil going to pounce on you. You're elect to God. You don't be afraid. Spirit of God. See? I was trying to show you. The unrighteous cannot have revelation. Only the born again, the spiritual, can have revelation of God. He alone having the spirit, see? So don't live under fear. You'll not be deceived. If I say one thing wrong here tonight, though I might not want to, something could come out the way I don't want it to come out. That happens to everybody. You know, you worry about it. I'm not going to worry about it. Because, you see, if you've got ears to hear, they'll hear. It's not a mind to fight that, but an ear to hear. See? And you'll hear it right somehow in spite of me. We don't need to worry. See? Now, the believer cannot be deceived, because it says so in Matthew, but it also says so in John. In John 14, here's what it says, verses 16 and 17. Now pray the Father, he'll give you another comforter. He may abide you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, notice it, neither knows him. Jesus walked up and he challenged him. He said, I hear there's a Messiah coming. Would you know something about him? And they looked him right in the eyes and said, oh, yes, we know all about him. What does it say? Well, in the law it says that he lives forever. Is that so? Would you know him for yourself? Oh, certainly we know him. But who knew him? Simeon picked up the baby and said, oh, Lord, I can go now because I've seen your Christ. And the others, all the people, the Pharisees, looked him right in the eye and said, oh, we know all about him. Oh, yes, we know all about him. And then listen. You know what? When Jesus was upon earth, they said, who is this fella? Why, we've got Moses. We know all about Moses. In Moses' day, they tried to kill him. Now, in Jesus' day, they said, Moses, we know all about him. And they tried to kill Jesus. Now, in this day of the Holy Ghost, they say, what's all this talk about the Holy Ghost? Jesus we know, and Moses we know. What's all this talk about the Holy Ghost giving revelation? See? Prophet of God, you open the Word, reveal the secret. What's all this Tommy Ross? See? True to form. You can't change. Jesus said, this generation, this breed of people shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. If you're elected God tonight, don't worry, don't fight. To seek God humbly for revelation. He was given to teach the truth. He was given to make the things of God real to you. He was given that you wouldn't be left comfortless. And again in John 16, that's the 16th chapter, and you can read in verse 12, he said, I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Do you ever think the Holy Ghost gave all of us, everything at one time? No, sir. It's line upon line, precept upon precept. Haven't you heard Brother Branham declare the fact that you're born again, baptized by the Holy Ghost in the body of Jesus Christ, and yet he sent under the token, you grow into it? No man could bear it all at one time. It proves all of us together haven't got to the bottom of it. But what is it to do? Just keep believing. If you're elect of God, don't worry, don't fret, you won't be deceived. Just keep believing, hold on. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Notice, not part, but all. He shall not speak of himself, but whatever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. And he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. Is this what Jesus said? This is what Paul said. This is the work of the Holy Spirit, to reveal Christ. And whatever other delightful attribute that he or qualities that he may wish to give us. Now again, in the book of 1 John, that's the epistle, and the second chapter. But you have an unction from the Holy One. You have an anointing from the Holy One. Verse 20. And you know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. And verse 27, but the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and you need not any man should teach you, but the same anointing teaches all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it is taught, you shall abide. Now, why did he say that? Because in verse 18, he said, little children, it's the last time. And as you've heard, Antichrist shall come. Even now there are many Antichrists, whereby you know it's the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. If they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. Notice in here, Paul saying, he said, look, surely they're coming upon the earth. Antichrist himself is coming upon earth. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. You've got the Holy Ghost who will teach you in that hour exactly what you need. You have the Spirit who was given expressly to you, who by revealing me. Now that's in relationship to the believer. I'll preach on that before I leave. See, well, just think of it for the time being, though. The relationship, see, that you really know him, that we may know him. Like John said, why, he said, we handled it. See, let me read it here. Here's the reality of God to John. That which was from the beginning, that which we have heard, see, which our eyes have seen, which we have looked upon, that means to continue looking, thoroughly perceive, and our hands have handled that word of life, for the life was manifest, and we saw it. We bear witness, and we show it to you, this life that was with the Father and was manifested in Christ, that which we've seen and have heard, we declare unto you that you can have the very same fellowship. In other words, the reality of God in your life by the Holy Ghost. Now look, too long we have said, if God be for us, who can be against us? That's right, isn't it? Right. Too long we have said it. Too long we have said, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord raises up a standard. Too long we have said that the church, his body, is the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Too long we have said it. There's got to come the day now when it's real. And that's going to take the Holy Ghost. In other words, the academic knowledge from the eye, looking at it, seeing it, yes, it's there, must now come to the place of a knowledge where you know that you know that you know. That's revelation by the Holy Ghost, brother. Your tongues haven't done heaven, huh? Oh, I talked in tongues for hours. I got from this that to that, and this height to that height, and I was in the third heaven with 14 kinds of tongues. I didn't do it. I danced the Spirit, too. I thought I did. I did something, I know. That didn't do it either. I prayed and I fasted. That didn't do it either. It isn't going to do it, honey. It isn't going to do it. It's going to take a revelation. Because only by the Spirit of God can we know. Now, let's go a little further. Why has the revelation been given in every age? And it has been. It's been given to make her an overcoming church. Because if you will look in the Revelation, I don't have time to read it, in the book of Revelation here, beginning in the second chapter, unto the messenger to the church of Ephesus write, verse 7, he that hath an ear, let him hear. Verse 8, unto the angel of the messenger of Smyrna. And in verse 4, 11, he that hath an ear, let him hear. And in verse 12, the same thing. And every single age, it starts out saying, to the messenger to each age, the Spirit of God has a message. And then it says, let him that hath an ear hear. Jesus came as the great messenger all in one of all ages to this earth. But only those with an ear could hear. See? Therefore, God has sent a messenger to every age. And those with an ear will hear what the Spirit said when he said it to the man that heard it, which was the messenger. Oh, they don't like that either. Or they say, Brother Bale, we got seminaries. You mean you got cemeteries? We got professors, yes, but not possessors. We got the Word, yes, but not the Word of God. Sure, we got power, yes, but it's not Holy Ghost power. Because the church has only been powerful when she's had a revelation. And every time the revelation dies, the people died with it. For where there is no vision, no revelation, the people perish. What's going to bring us up to the place of rapturing faith? The revelation of the Holy Ghost, brother, sister. I don't believe anything else is going to do it. I'm convinced. If I'm preaching something wrong, may God help me. But I don't believe it, because this is what Brother Branham said. If you think I haven't changed my mind to what I believe because he taught me, you're wrong. Because I changed a lot of my theology because he taught me this. And he said it was the revelation of him that gave the church the power. And that's exactly what the Bible says. But many men looked at Brother Branham and they thought, oh, we're going to imitate him. We're going to see where he got his hand in that chicken pie, so to speak, and we'll pull out a breast or a thigh for us too. No, it doesn't work that way. It was the revelation. Because before William Branham had 1 ounce of power, William Branham had a revelation. Right? Certainly. The revelation gave him. There's where his power lay. God told me to go to Abraham Lincoln's grave. Notice it. God told me and gave me a vision of raising Abraham Lincoln. I called the armies there to shoot me down if I couldn't do it. But what came first? What I hear my father say, that I say. And what I see my father do, that I do. Because he never gave us his power to do what we wanted with it. Because it's his power. And except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain. We need a revelation, brother, sister. We had one in every age. Now, let's see if what I'm talking about is in the Word of God. Will this revelation really give us this power? Can we by Holy Ghost revelation? Oh, well, you know it's the truth. Well, let's just prove it by word. In the first chapter of Revelation, I'm sorry, Ephesians, just reading again what I read previously, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Now, just keep that in mind. Paul prayed for revelation. Now, over here in Romans, the 16th chapter, and in verse 25, he explains it. Now, to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Christ according to the revelation. What does Paul say? Now, to him, Jesus, that is of power, the ability, dunamis, to establish you. Wouldn't you like to be established? We're sort of blown about these days, that's a minute. We're fussing, lots of other things happen. Established person doesn't do that. He doesn't need to. His worries are over. His fussing's over. He's established. See? He's like the lead horse. He usually hitch a frisky colt with a good horse to hold the colt down, right? Paul says now, who is able to establish you according to my gospel. In other words, to give you the permanency and the establishment as declared in the gospel. According to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, which was according to the revelation. Listen, what gave it the power? It was the revelation, because all of these things came by way of revelation. Like I said a while ago, you were able, said Paul, to take joyfully. I grumble. There's one thing I don't like to be is took. Now, if I want to do it, if I want to give you my shirt, I feel that's my privilege. But for you to take my shirt is God's privilege, and I don't want it. And I'm not too happy. Oh, I'm happy to have a lot of other things, like little revelations here and there. Oh, I prophesied a little bit, and this came to pass, and I was sweet over here, and that came to pass. But to take joyfully the spoiling of my goods. I've got to have some. But it's not here, it's there. But I can't see up there. You're right. But if the Holy Ghost made it real, you could take joyfully spoiling your goods. If the Holy Ghost made the things of God real, you'd be established, right? You'd say, well, let him kill me, that's all right. Let him talk, that's all right. Well, right now it's not all right. When's it going to get all right? When we let the Holy Ghost do what he was supposed to do, which was to teach us, establish us by revelation, lead us into truth. But we've been typical Pentecostals of the last 20th century here. Give me the Holy Ghost and watch me flex my muscles. Sure. Y'all got tigers in your tank, haven't you? Why, I'll get under your hood and put on tiger paw tires now to make the rain in the curves, right? Hasn't worked, has it, honey? We had Franklin Hall's book, too, haven't we? Now, pardon me, I don't like that on a tape, but it's the truth. I read them all. That didn't do it either. See? Now, listen to me. Brother, sister, if I was out here to dig a great big trench, and I was hired by the city to dig the trench, and they gave me a great big ditch digger. And I said, well, you know, I think I'll just go over here. It's a nice place. get a pick. Oh, this plate looks just right for digging it in. So dig away and dig away, and the job's not getting done. And the man says, look, I gave you the ditch digger. Oh, dig away. I like my way. Dig away, dig away, and dig away. The fellow said, look. And if the ditch digger, the ditch machine had a voice, say, hey, son, listen, I was sent here to dig the ditch. Oh, dig away, dig away. Right, Christians, right today. The Holy Ghost was sent to give us revelation, right? And we looked 1,000 places. As Brother Branham says, if you ever got the revelation for healing, confess your fault. Call the elder. It's done. Oh, dig away. Call in the man of the gift. Dig away some more. Huh? Well, that's the trouble, right? The Spirit was given to give us revelation. I was taught everything else but that. I was exposed to every experience, the same as you were. Oh, this will do it. That will do it. No, it's what God says in His Word. See, revelation. Paul said it will give establishment. See, it's not the Spirit of God simply taking the Word of God and making us to know it by way of our minds. It's the Spirit of God making the Word live. Like, look, let me show you again. Here I've got a table full of nice food. And let's say here I'm a man that's starving. My body's emaciated. I'm all weakened down. And bless your heart, somebody says, Brother Dale, don't eat too hard of the steak because that's hard to digest. But here's some nice vegetables. They're good vegetables, fresh and clean. And here's a nice piece of something else baked up in here. And, you know, I look at that and I say, isn't that wonderful? Just looking will do it. No, it doesn't. I must literally eat that. And then my body, by its chemistry, will release the power in the food so the Holy Ghost alone can take the Word and release it in you. See? By revelation. Not any other way. I hope I'm getting to you, brother, sister, because this is, as I feel, the urgent thing of this day. We are not seeking God by the Holy Spirit, enunciated performance to let him do what he's supposed to do. God, do this. God, do it. Oh, that's all fine. But Jesus said, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, then I command you, ask at once something for yourself, and I'll give it to you. He doesn't say it'll happen before. See? We have gotten it wrong. We have been trying to produce eggs as it were without chicken. Let's get back to seeking the Spirit of God to let Him do what He was supposed to do, was to lead us, to make God real. See? To take the things of God and show them to us. Let me show you. I'll get to it in a minute. I'll show you. See, we're missing something, see? Now, and again in the book of Ephesians, the second chapter of Ephesians, the third chapter of Ephesians, and in verse 3, Paul says, how that by revelation He made known unto me the mystery. Now listen, if you got the thing known, it's no longer a mystery. No one will ever thoroughly explain it, but how can it be a mystery when you know it? See? He made known what was so mysterious. He brought it out by revelation. God hidden, now made manifest through revelation. See? Now let's go take another verse with that. Well, no, let me just talk about this a second here. Notice where Paul said, how that by revelation He made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote in a few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. You see, what I want to show you here is when we know, as I said before, but I'm repeating myself, there is where we platform our faith, because we know. We know by revelation. When you know by revelation, then you can believe. Because you're platforming it on reality. But if we don't know, we're haphazard. Supposing I said to you, you said to me, I feel that I should go as a missionary to Spain, but I don't know if I should. How in the world could you have any faith in that? Didn't Brother Branham say, when God tells me to go, oh, he said, I don't care what happens, all the devils in hell could rise up. He said, I've got to lick before it starts. Why? You see, you platform faith. Where? In revelation by the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm not calling now on the little day-by-day occurrences. That's good. I'm talking now on the reality of living our lives as Christians, which is the third point. And the third point is in Galatians 1:16. Now, listen to it. to verse 15 first. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. The ultimate of every life of every Christian is to reveal Jesus Christ. And you can't do it except by revelation. It can't be done. Because what's he like? People even get confused and fuss about what he looked like. John saw him with pure white hair. Is that right? History proved that he had chestnut red hair. He said, well, Brother Branham was wrong. He saw him dark-haired. Don't be ridiculous. That was the way he's supposed to see him. Because when Christ arose from the grave, his own disciples never recognized him on at least two occasions. The Bible not prove it yet. It isn't walking up and saying, oh, I know he's got to be Jesus because he's got dark hair, he's got red hair, he's got green hair. Nothing to do it at all. I can tell that's a Christian because he's got that funny little hat on or wears his clothes a certain way. That's not it at all. We could miss God a million miles without spiritual perception. It needs the revelation to reveal the Son in it, because exactly how will I reveal the Son except by revelation? Paul said the Son was revealed in me. That's why God brought me to birth, to reveal the Son. It was by revelation. We need a revelation. Then we're beginning to know. Of course, you say, isn't that the word? Sure, it's the word. But you make that word alive. You can't except by the Holy Ghost. I could preach here a million years. And you know you could listen a million years if God ordained it. But could we turn the other cheek without a revelation? Can't be done. You see? Notice Paul said, he made known to me. He made it real. Now the Spirit of God makes it real to us in order we may reveal the Son. You see, that's the acme. That's the pinnacle. That the Son of God may be revealed in us. The people can say, I know that person's got God. I can see God in that person. Paul, that's what Paul said. He said, you glorified God in me. He didn't say he was God. He said, you glorified God in me. Which was true. He said, the life that I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, according to the word tonight, which we have read and gone into, there can be absolutely no doubt, but what I have said is true, concerning the Spirit making the things of God real. This revelation by the Spirit, this knowledge of the Spirit empowering men to reveal the Son, to make the church his body, as we have said, is missing. And the missing revelation is the key to our apostate Christ-rejecting age. Now let's turn and find it. The book of Revelation, the 3rd chapter. Why is our age so barren? What's the matter with our age? All right, let's read it. In verses 14 to 22. And unto the angel, the messenger, to the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold or hot, I'll spew out of mouth. Now notice, because thou sayest. Remember, they're doing the talking. They don't care what God said. They still don't. They don't care in this age. I'm rich, increased with goods. I have need of nothing. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable, poor and blind and naked. I counsel you, said Jesus, to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that you may be rich, and white raiment you may be clothed. That the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve. And this is where they make a mistake, because this translation is a gross error. It doesn't say, anoint thine eye with eye salve, as though they had the eye salve there to do it. It said, come to me for gold, and for the garment, and for the eye salve. They don't have the Holy Ghost in this age, but they say they do, and they don't. Have you ever seen an age more bereft of revealing Christ in this age? Never. Never. You've never seen an age so rotten as this age. So democratic. The Laodicean word, the word Laodicean means the people's rights. Now here I'm going to help you here, because I might not have another sermon to bring this out in. Although I perhaps could. Do you realize why it was that Wesley was the messenger for his age and not men like Whitfield? Though Whitfield believed in the doctrine as we believe, sovereignty of God, security, perseverance, and those doctrines. You know why he couldn't? Because if God had raised up in his sovereignty a man who believes as we believe, there would never be the age of the Laodiceans. There had to be a man raised up who would become what we call the Armenian, falling away, you know, that type of believer. See? In order to bring this age in. See, because in that age, when Wesley raised up, they were believing in the sovereignty of God, and they said, except God calls you, you can't come. They said it's predestination. It's foreordination. It's election. Wesley raised up in order that the word of God would still go forth, which it did, but brought it around to this age where men could say, we do it all. Why, all you got to do is say, God, I come and you can come. I want to get born again, and I can get born again. Why, they say it's your will that does it. It's not God's will. God wills you to be saved, but of course you can annul his will. But if you want to get saved, do it. Now, you know that's a lie. But it had to come that way to make people so rebellious. They think they can do anything they want. And Jesus said, look, you say you're clothed. You're not clothed. See, that's the garment of righteousness. You don't have any gold. That's the crown of your face. See, every man falls with fire. Yes, sir, the crown of your face. And the third, he said, the reason is you do need eyesight. You haven't got it. And all over the world, they're saying, we've got the Holy Ghost. This is the age that talks about the Holy Ghost. This is the age that keeps on saying, come and get him. They've identified the Holy Ghost with tongues. They have equated the Holy Ghost with tongues. And even theologians, which I talked to in New York, and Brother Branham said, Lee, while you're up there, phone around and get to know some folk and see what they do about a meeting. I phone men. They're supposed to be of the richest caliber in the Holy Ghost. And they laughed derisively at a man's doctrine. And they said, we know he's got something, but we can't go with him. That's right, they couldn't go with him because you've got to be agreed in agreements in the Holy Ghost. The liberal modern precinct is 100 million miles away. It has to be that way, brother, sister. It has to be. Oh, how, can't you see his goodness and beauty tonight? People think, oh, God can sin. God, listen, sin is a relative thing. Haven't got a thing to do with God. Couldn't sin if he tried. Sin is down here as a relative thing. People say, how could Wesley be the messenger and preach that other doctrine? That's exactly the way it had to be. Because he had reality enough for his age to bring this age on. The wisdom of God, every man's been right for his age. We've had our man for this age, and he cried out and he said, you're wrong. You had the gifts. You thought it was the latter rain, but you were wrong. And now the life has come up through the husk, and it's gone on. They say, but no, that man was wrong. Well, I'll tell you one thing. If I didn't even believe my Bible, I believe he was right, because the majority is never right. That's right. That's right, brother, sister. That's neither a joke nor a parable or any what you call it. That's the truth. The majority has never been right, nor prove it's Bible, because Jesus said, do you think I called you because you're a big people? He said you were the least of the whole bunch. But they were the right, right? Not even numbered with the nations. He said, I called you the least of all. See, now notice I said, this anointing isn't in this age, that is in a great area. It's only with the elect of God. And remember, the Spirit of God talks to the leader of each age and those that have an ear here. Is that right? The Spirit speaks to the messenger, and we who listen or can listen, prove it out that the same Spirit is in the hearer that's in the one that heard it. That's the way it is. May take a while to get it, but it'll come. Now look, you know it's the truth, because every age, when the men went out with the message, it became watered down. By the time the second generation rolled around, they were dead again. Then God had to keep raising up. But they were in the last age. Now, God says the Holy Ghost is missing because he is the anointing. You have anointing, said John. The world says we got it. They're wrong. They missed the prophet, proving they didn't have it. Now, I hate to say this, brother, sister, because that sounds like I'm just trying to back up Brother Branham, and as it were, and do you want to say what he says? I'm going to be happy to say what he says. I just want to say it right. Because that's the truth. They invariably do this thing. The God, by the Spirit, speaks to the man, and he in turn speaks, and that's the proof to you why it is the world has never been one for God, the way people try to say it'll be one. Because only so many can hear the man. Read your history, brother, sister. Read your church history. Read your Bible. It's the elect. It's the elected here in every age. We've heard in our age. Now, let's go further. Now, if there is an anointing, you see, a true baptism, then the elect will have that, and they'll be believing, see? But what is the day? It's a false anointing. It's not the anointing's fault, but it's not on the inside, it's on the outside, see? Spirit of God coming upon the spirit of a man. See, men's spirit, no, let me show you something that happened years ago. I used to lay hands on people and tell them what's wrong. And many a time I've had laid hands on a woman, see, And laying hands on her, I catch her spirit. I thought it was the spirit of God, but I was catching her spirit in my spirit. And I said, I'll tell you trouble, sister. You were called to preach many years ago. And you disobeyed God and got married. See, I thought women could preach in those days, see? Catching her spirit, I would say, look, now you disobeyed God and your nerves are killing you. But you still must be all right somehow. Just ask God, you know, we pray. I never did say, go on, preach. Because I knew a woman got married, you better stick with her husband, because that's Bible. But I was confused. Why? Because my spirit was catching her spirit. It wasn't the spirit of God with reality doing a real job. And I'll tell you, the world's full of it today. Spirit of God can touch a man's spirit. Why, you can get a man praying in St. Patrick's Church. And that man will earnestly ask God to show him a business deal. Now, you know that that's not... I don't find too much in the Bible for these little shenanigans. But he goes every morning to church at 5 o'clock, maybe this one man does. And every morning he talks to God, and that spirit anoints his spirit like that, and he knows what business deal it is. See, it's outside. But when it's inside, it's the revelation of the Word, so that we become Word Christians. Revealing the Son who was the Word, right? See, that's not in this age. Now, let me show you. If this is missing, what is going to happen? Now, I'm going to wind up and show you. Turn to Luke. Because everything I say must be in the Bible. If it's not in the Bible, you check me. Now, Luke 19, verse 41. And when Jesus was come near, he beheld Jerusalem and wept over it, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the day of their visitation, they didn't know something. And they should have. Which belongs to thy peace. Now tell me, what would give you peace tonight? Why, you with no money would say, well, Brother Vail, if I could just pay off my debt. Correct? Yeah, Brother Vail, my husband is not right. If I could get him lined up. Right? Brother Vail, my wife is wrong. If I get hurt, that's right, see? What belongs to your peace would be some authority or power that would work to straighten out the difficulty. That would give peace. See? All the peace we would have if we had an inner knowledge. If we knew something which was for us and not against us. See, peace, lack of peace comes what's against us. But you see, tonight, supposing I had $1,000 worth of bills coming in next week, but I had $10,000 in the bank. Unless I'm some kind of a bad tightwad and you know, just a penny pincher, I'd say, well, good. That's okay. I pay my $1,000 debt and I've got nine to go. Praise God. See? That gives peace. In other words, the potential, a potential is what gives peace. See? How can a man have peace if the door won't lock? See? Why? They can't have any peace. Man will break in and steal it. How can a person have peace if he is inferior? See? To the condition. Well, Jesus now said this. Look. He said, if you'd known what belonged to give you the superiority that you've been haggling for, that you've been getting into politics for, that you've been going to war for, oh, Jerusalem, how you've missed it. See? But now they're hid from your eyes. And the day is going to come upon you. Your enemies are going to cast a trench about you and compass you around every side and keep you in. And they're going to lay even the ground and they're going to kill your children, so on. Now, brother, sister, listen carefully now because I want to show you something here. What did Israel have that Jesus knew they had, but Israel didn't know they had? Because there was no revelation. You want to know what it was? Turn to Romans 9. I'm going to show you because this is Bible. See, this should help us. Verse 4. Who are Israelites to whom pertaineth the adoption? What's the adoption? The placing of sons. Who has the adoption today? The Gentile bride. And the glory. Who has the glory? Remember it. Jesus said, this man was born blind for the glory of God. Who, where is it God manifests himself? It was in Israel, wasn't it? But where today? In the Gentile bride. Now go further, and the covenant. Who had it? Israel. Who's got the covenant now? The new covenant. The Gentile bride. And the giving of the law? Who ministers the word of God now? Israel used it, but it's a bride. And the service to God. Who serves God and ministers to God? Israel once did, but we do now. Who had the promises? Israel had the promises. Who's got them now? We've got them now. Israel had the fathers. Who's got them now? We've got the fathers. And where does Christ dwell now? He came to Israel in the flesh, but where is he now? In our flesh. You see, tonight we can have it all and still miss it all because there's no revelation. Israel had it and didn't even know it. Years ago, I preached one time in Seattle in a Brother McGuire's church, I think it was, or something like that. and as I went, somebody put some money in my pocket. And I didn't pay any attention, but later on, my wife and I, we got pretty broke. And I was thinking in myself that, I don't have any money today, and I wish I had some. And a voice was saying to reach in your suit pocket. I said, so reach in my suit pocket. There's broken toothpicks and fluff there, so that's a big deal. And I thought, because that's usually in my pocket, because I put my broken toothpicks there and all. And I chew toothpicks. So I thought, I thought that's silly. A little later on, there's something like the voice said, go and reach in the suit pocket. And at once I said, what for? So I reached my hand in for nothing and get nothing. Well, it went on until finally, out of sheer curiosity, I said, okay, so I reached my hand in, and a $5 bill came up. Now listen, what I'm trying to show you is this. Was that $5 bill really mine while I was not aware of it? No, sir. Because to be really mine would put it in a place where I could use it and thereby extract from it or let it perform for me, which is a better way of putting it. Now, if we have things from God tonight in our possession and they are not ours by virtue of revelation, brother, sister, we could end up in trouble. Just like Israel. Now, let me submit to you tonight that as Israel was in this shape 2,000 years ago, we are in the same shape today. Why? Because Jesus said, you're wretched, miserable, naked, blind, and don't even know. See? Now, what were they to do? They were to come to him for gold. Trial of the faith, see? Tried to find. To come for him, white raiment. And to come above all, the anointing, which is the Holy Ghost. And remember, he must come to restore the church. Because the sowing rain or the teaching rain has gone forth, and now the harvest rain must come. After the eagle age, the eye must come to mind. It is the Spirit of God, my brother and my sister, who is our salvation. When the enemy comes in like a flood, it's the Spirit and he alone that can raise up a standard. And that standard is not you and me standing up against the world, trying to empty the hospital, trying to turn the world upside down for God. But it's the gates of hell that come against us in their moment of glory. That the little remnant can stand up just before the rapture by the Holy Ghost revelation, because they know that they know that they know. Am I going to stand up a great oration? No. In that hour, your Father will speak in you. Will I perform great miracles, Brother Dale, and see a great ministry? No, not particularly. You might stump you. Stump you. But as I read my Bible and see what you and I as members called together are to perform is to reveal that Son by the Spirit of God. The revelation. And that revelation, brother, sister, wasn't in the mighty miracles. That was to get the attention. The revealing of the Son of God was being that word. You knew that you had a better and enduring substance in heaven you could turn to Jesus. You could give it away, didn't I? You could be a part of that. If I'm not mistaken, if the Spirit of God is speaking to my heart right tonight, brother, sister, I believe with all my heart that it's the Spirit who alone can reveal the things of God and make them real. And thereby we in turn have released in us the power of the Word which makes us that Word real. As the brother Branham said, and you can read it for yourself, it's written verbatim. As he put it down and gave it to us. That I can't give it verbatim, but I'll give you the gist of it. That as the bride approaches to Christ by means of the Word, becoming like him through that Word in order to be united to him. What are we waiting for? Not to turn the Word upside down, that would be a wonderful thought, but to be united to him. By what? The Spirit revealing that Word, making that Word real. The old God, I'm not a Word Christian, and yet we are because we're born of that Word. What is wrong? The light has not been released through the revelation of the Spirit of God. Now, I've not preached to you tonight and say, well, I've got it. No, I've warned you. It's academic with me. I see it. I see what it is. Years ago, I wanted something else. As I told you, I took my shortcuts, I did many a thing, and I said, this is what I want. This is when I get this, I've got it. I got it. It didn't work. But tonight I see, let the Spirit of God make the things of God real. Let that Spirit make God real within me, and the things of God real. Then I am established, and my life will be real, and I can review that time. May God help us to pray for what revelation. If I would say one thing to any church or any group of people, when you come together, carry one for another. Pray for each other. Don't forsake the assembly yourself together. Don't you do it because the Bible warns you not to do it. You come together. For what purpose? To excite each other. To serve God. How much excitement have we ever given anybody for a long time? Huh? But we can. I'm not talking something dead. I'm trying to encourage you in faith to go on. That this is the road laid out for us. Remember, just hold steady and believe. It's what believe what the word has got to come. What word? The living word, brother. Being born again, not of corruptible sperm word. See, you can be born again of what? The corruptible word. Organization. Dead work. Tradition. But being born again of the word. Follow me? Well, I hope we see it tonight. You pray for me, I'll pray for you, that together we may receive the ministry of the Spirit of God for why he was sent, to make God real and the things of God. Here I am a son, adopted, to place the son. Have I the revelation of that? He's called me with a glorious hope. Have I the revelation of that? He's got an inheritance in me. Have I a revelation of that? The greatest of powers to us who believe. Do we have the revelation there? Can they take from me and I go joyfully? Can they criticize me? Well, the Bible says, criticize not, you'll be criticized. You know that's the truth? I don't want to say this for a joke, but I sure got one handed to me not long ago. I've been critical. The Bible says, confess your faults. I've been confessing mine and yours both. Don't try to go one better than God's word. Just confess your own. I got too critical. So a man lowered the boom on me. Not that he said one thing that was true. But I had it coming to me. Wasn't turning the cheek. I wasn't happy to be defrauded. The Bible said I was supposed to be. But I had no revelation of it. How can you say, Brother Dale, paint me a picture? I'm not an artist. The magazine came out with an ad saying, we will make you an artist. I said, that man lied. You'll never make Lee Dale an artist. I don't have the talent. Don't try to kid me. The same thing with the Holy Ghost. We need revelation, amen? Well, God bless you. So we pray. Dear Jesus, we again thank you for the lovely people you brought out. May we not just, Lord God, be loving in measure, but now, Lord, the day has come to be loving without measure. The love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Lord, the day we feel has come not to just have heard a message, but now, Lord, we feel the seed in the message must come up within our hearts so we can be that living message. That's what we want tonight. I want it, Lord, and I know the people do. Lord, we have not said one thing to the best of our knowledge outside this word. It's been in the word. But Lord, that hasn't made it so that it had to be manifested. But Father, when your Spirit gives us the revelation, then it will be manifested. Now, Lord, I don't know when that is going to come, but I do believe that I'm to be looking for it, and I'm not doing that too satisfactorily. So, Lord, as we're here tonight, confessing our faults in our hearts toward you, looking up to you, recognizing our fallibility and our undoneness, we're just asking you, Lord, in repentance now, to forgive us, especially for having attempted to use the Spirit of God in our own way, that we have tried to direct you, Lord, that, Lord, we've been so wrong, and we want to reverse it. We want to be right. Now, Jesus, calm us down, please.
calm us right down, way down. So we can get real quiet. So you can instruct us. So that you can show us. And then we'll be able to prevail and be established. Now, Lord, I can't say this any other way than I've said it. I'm just asking you to help us all. Bless each one now and guide us into truth. Lord, I'm thinking it wouldn't be just, I just don't know if I could face it, Lord, to be able to having stood up here and then tell the people that this is your word, which we know it is, and then fail myself. As Paul said, to become disapproved. God, help me to be able, Lord, because you're going to have to help, to just yield to you, that your spirit can have the full control and bring that word out in me. Now, Lord, do that to everybody tonight, because I know that I couldn't pray for myself and not for them, because I couldn't pray for my hand and not be praying for my body. So we're praying all together. Lord, please help us tonight. We admit we're wrong. We admit we've done wrong. But you're rich in grace, Lord, and your blood abates. You're our attorney. Forgive us. And send a fresh anointing upon us. Bring down that harvest rain, O God. Let the mind age come in. Let John's little epistle come to pass, that we can know the way he knew, the way the man you sent us had such reality, Lord. May we have a little bit of that. We're begging you, Lord, because we haven't got the revelation yet of how to just receive the Son. But we're begging you, Lord, tonight, that you'll just do that for every one of us. Because we got a need. That's all we can show tonight, Lord, is our old dirty hands. That's all we can show you, Lord. We can't show you anything else, oh God. We show you that. Just what we are waiting. With a little faith that you dropped in our hearts. That it's going to work out just right. And we'll go to meet you, Lord. And we thank you. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, the all power and honor and glory, through Christ, living out his life in us. Amen. God bless you, brother.